He doesn't have much of a Wikipedia page, Frank Stapleton.
Okay.
No pictures of him sitting on a shed?
No.
The 12 Man Podcast, self Shane Keenan, Declan Marin over
there,
and Ruth Hoban over
there.
How he's doing, lads? Yeah. It's great to be back for another week of fun filled antics.
Can't really call it fun filled antics until later on, though.
I'm predicting fun filled antics.
You can predict, but I'm going to make sure that this prediction doesn't come true.
What about our online stuff?
Do you want me to think
about that first to kick off this fun?
Yeah, what I'm going to do, guys. The 12manpodcast@hotmail.com is the email address. At 12manpodcast on the Twitter. Get on there. It's great fun over there. You can go to the Facebook page as well. The Facebook page.
It's all happening there.
Yeah, just Google the 12manpodcast. You get on there. What's happening over there?
There's a video of Carlos Tevez. And fronting his group, bet none of you Jive Turkeys knew that that's what he was up to. But yeah, apparently, I think it's his brother is the actual front man, because Carlos Tevez doesn't seem to know a lot.
Yeah, well, he'd be a terrible front man.
I think he is.
He's good up front, though.
He's not
He's good up front. Yeah, actually, good point, but he wouldn't be good at leading the line, I don't think, you know? He's a big man up front. Maybe Falcao?
Falcao would be a good front man.
There's Michael Owen, that old Michael Owen boy wonder videos back up there again, just to keep it up in the charts, you know. But also because he made a little bit of a sub appearance.
Yeah, he did.
And the Canio's celebration is up there, which we'll also get to.
No, we won't actually, because that'd be too fun.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, can I just stop and say that you were right.
A whale of a time. It's gonna get better, guys. Trust me. Look, I'm going to start with the question as usual. Mark Clattenburg forgot his cards in the Liverpool game there, the Liverpool Reading game at the weekend. Came onto the pitch, you know, big mistake, I think, walking out with your cards, wondering what to be doing. Had to go off, get somebody else to hand them to him. What would you do in his position if you didn't have any cards? How would you dictate the game? What would you do?
First of all, I just want to do a preamble to this. How did that happen? All he has is a whistle and the cards. You think you'd have a checklist where you go out wearing black, check, whistle, check, existing, check. Grant, I forgot that.
Do you think he had, you know, the red card? He just forgot the yellows?
No, he didn't have either.
Right, you're off. Off you go.
He didn't have either. That's the whole point of it. Okay, so you're asking us what we would do if we were him.
How would you referee that game?
Well, I assume he probably still had his pen, right?
Yeah,
so it's a blue pen, so that wouldn't work. Now, this is going to be... It gets a bit dark here. But I would carve into my hand red and yellow. So just... Obviously, the blood would be red, so it would get confusing again. But when I raise the left bloody hand, and you can see the outline of red, and the right one for yellow. So,
You would have a pen.
Yeah, he would have a pen to write in his
he can pad. Just write it down.
No. Like, you need to show it around the stadium. It get too confusing.
So just. Instead of a red card, a big bloody red hand.
Yeah, and then the yellow written on the other hand.
Instead of writing red, your hand.
Or he could get the blood out and then extract the plasma from that blood.
No, I'm sticking with mine. I like mine the way it is. Nice and dark.
Ruth Hoban.
Yeah, dark. Yeah, definitely.
Players wouldn't argue the decision, would they? I'd have a big bloody hand. They'd be like, "Revs, I'm out of yes, it is."
Well, just put it out there. That'd be a blood injury. You'd have to go off.
Good point.
Grand, I could get my cards. Run back into the dressing room really quick.
Redoble. Yeah, maybe that might be the first thing that you go to.
Stab your hand.
Like, okay, I can run back in, or
no, I want the players to fear me. I'm happy with that.
Okay, what I would probably try to communicated in some way that would make sense to me but would make sense to no one else. Like, say if someone had a yellow t-shirt on or like a yellow band, I'd like grab that and be like,
point at
this and like be shaking it in front of them, and people would be like, what are you talking about? And then
you'd need to go to the fans then, surely, or the stewards.
Maybe someone's wearing Maybe, you know, maybe it's a Brazil game. They have yellow jerseys. I just point to that and be like, that,
yeah.
that's...
If it's game, a Brazil, it Chile game, Liverpool.
Yeah.
It was Reading Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, red card, you're all right.
Mm.
But maybe a game of charades might work. I was trying to think of what would work.
No, because it so, sounds like
yeah,
yellow.
Exactly. Sounds like help. Sounds like hello. And they're like, hello, yellow.
Sounds like head.
Like, yeah, sounds like head. Exactly.
So charades. That just makes it.
But would directly
complicated.
End that time onto the end of the yes, so I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, he'd just have to how many sand timer minutes yeah. had.
There'd be a new thing included in football. Charade
sand
time.
I think if I was in that position, I wouldn't want to admit my mistake. So what I do
like
is,
those.
Yeah, you go out and the first kind of bad tackle that goes in, you just blow and say, right,
play it on.
No, you blow the whistle. You blow the whistle.
No foul.
Yeah, no, you blow the whistle. You go, nah, just carry on. But then just keep doing what referees do when they go to play on, where they open up their hands. They go, no, I'm not playing on. Even the ball's gonna play. It's like, I'll play on. Oh, no, it's corner. Sorry, it's corner.
But like when you used to put the two jumpers down. And like say you were the goalkeeper, you know,
yeah.
just playing outside
and
the ball would go like say it was too far away from you to get the ball back and take a goal kick, but it would go like way out and you'd just be like, yeah, play on, just bring it back in, play on. It'd
it's gonna play. So, yeah. So even if it was terrible tactics, you just wouldn't book anybody until you at least got to half time.
Yeah.
And then you just come back up with the card and start dishing out yellow cards for everything that happens.
What about, for example, if they took off their shirt, you'd have to do something then because the letter of the law says
just play on.
Just take the shirt off.
Even if they score a goal, they're just like, look, play on, play on. This is more if you forget your whistle.
You still blow a whistle. You're not giving any kind of foul.
You're just trying
to play on as much as possible, no matter how bad the tackles are, just to avoid the confrontation.
I love it.
So basically what you want to just bring the level of what constitutes a bad foul.
Oh,
a hell of a lot.
Well, you can still give free kicks for it, but you could just best thing to do is to try play on as much
or,
as possible.
Yeah, start acting really blokey. Like, oh, get up, come on. It's like a leg breaker, you know. Oh, come on, you're all right, mate, come on.
Well, that's...
I think I clearly won with the effort I put in there.
Well, you are sacrificing quite a bit of your
quite
own body.
Quite a bit of skin
and
blood,
yeah,
literal.
But hopefully that will never... It will never
well done, hypothetical, Deco.
It will never come to that situation, lads. Let's start with Newcastle Sunderland then. Kind of got overshadowed by the riot, I think, more so than anything than the football. Sunderland won 3-0. It was a good result. Brilliant result for Sunderland. Unexpected result.
I actually think the football overshadowed the rioting.
Did it?
Which is, yeah, I think, you know...
I was just thinking afterwards, but the rioting happened afterwards with the Newcastle fans throwing, you know, opening up bins, throwing bottles of beer at the police. Or
they all looked about 14.
They probably were 14.
It was mad. I looked at it, I was like, they were saying this is Newcastle fans. I was like, you know, the kind of riot police and stuff like that. They didn't have that many riot police there, but I was like, just go over and like, push them over and say, get out of here. They'd probably leave. They don't look like tough.
Yeah,
it was like, shoot, go on. And they'd probably run away.
It was right on the streets, which was the worst part. And a Newcastle fan punched a horse. I mean, a police horse.
Which is not funny.
Ridiculous.
It's not funny, but you can find the video on YouTube.
And I mean, the horse is okay. We know that. The horse is fine.
Yeah.
It's grand. No repercussions. You're not gonna knock out a horse.
Budge the horse.
Yeah.
His name.
You know what I mean? It'd be pretty difficult to knock out a horse.
Mm.
With one punch.
I was saying to you that there should be one punch. Maybe with about 10.
Kept going.
And some sort of fly.
He did. At what stage do you realise, like, I'm punching a horse? Like, what am I doing? What's my life coming?
It'd be great if he ran off. Not for the horse, obviously. I don't think this would be great. But if he ran off and then just ran back in and drop kicked the horse. But I think more importantly, like, what kind of lunatic is this lad that he's punching the horse?
Yeah, why?
They should give him a punishment, as I said to you earlier, where, you know, his punishment is to take one back to let the horse kick him.
Ooh.
And hopefully not kick him to death, but kick him within like the less scenario where he goes, alright, it wasn't worth it, I'm taking a hell of a kick here from a horse. I probably shouldn't have punched
the horse. This could be a good way if you forget your cards as well, taking a horse on. It's like, I'm not going to book you, but you are going to get kicked in the torso from this horse. Come on, bud.
But what about what I was going to say. If you punched a policeman in any country, not just Ireland.
I'd expect to take at least a kick back.
No, but I mean, if you punched a policeman, you could go to jail. because if you're assaulting a police officer, it's a different story.
But if I punch his bike,
it's not a bike. It's an animal.
I'm making that very clear. I love animals. I love animals. So no, that's not it.
If I punched your dog, you'd want to punch me.
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah, fair point.
Exactly right. Look, we move on to the football. We have more violence to talk about later with Millwall and Wigan.
Yeah.
So we move on to football. Sunderland 1-3-0 is a fantastic result because it was at St James's Park. It's great to go there to get a win against their biggest rivals when they really, really need one under the canyon. Is he doing something?
Definitely.
Or is this just it's a derby match and anything could happen?
No, because last week they didn't look as bad either, and they whatever it was about them, they wouldn't have won this game under O'Neill. I'm comfortable enough in saying that. They were terrible recently under O'Neill, and they looked a different team. They won everything. Now, it helped that Newcastle were kind of listless, and Cisse had about 19 chances again. I was like, he's going to score 2 in the 92nd minute or something like that. But he didn't.
I said it was 3-2.
Yeah. Excuse me. But, it's funny as well, last week we talked about how terrible all the goals in the Chelsea-Sunderland game were. And this week, they're all crackers.
Three absolute
crackers. I mean, it started well with Sessegnon. He's put in a shift there.
I think Crow might have been able to do more for Sessegnon. It comes from a long way out. It's along the ground. I think Crow might get down a bit too early to it. It kind of rolled by him into the corner rather than powers by him. I don't think there's that much in it. But did they get better? I think each goal was.
Johnson's
was quite good.
Johnson's was cracker, and then Vaughan's at the end.
Was incredible.
Beautiful, wasn't it? But, interesting point made by a blogger we mentioned before, Atashi Del Bosque, nice Twitter handle, on Twitter, saying that Sunderland will need to score scrappier goals if you think about it, because and I've thought about that, they have a lot of lads that are good at shooting from distance, like Vaughan and Johnson, but like that's Vaughan's first of the season.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought
Johnson had too much time on the left foot.
Johnson does that every now and then, he cuts in. We used to see that at Man City. He used to cut in from the right and score these wonderful little dinks and lobs and chips and every kind of shot under the sun. But he just doesn't do it enough. That's the point. He can do it every couple of weeks, but you need to do it on a consistent basis. He's a one-trick pony. You cut in from the right, but stick him on the left and let him whip a few balls in, do whatever. I thought Vaughan's was a wonderful goal, though, because it didn't get a huge amount of... There wasn't a lot of hype, like Loughton's goal last week. Or Remy's goal, I saw Remy's goal live, but I mean, Loughton's goal, you straight away heard, this could be goal of the season, and you're expecting something there. But with Vaughan's, I hadn't heard anything about it, and as soon as I saw it on the replay, or the highlights, and I was like, whoa, it was wonderful, like the way he hit it was just amazing.
Hell of a left foot.
It's just to get it, but to get it to bend around, and, it's amazing technique to do that, because not many players would even think about going, I'll go the far side and try to beat back around like that.
It's a pity he hasn't done that more this season, though.
That's
because
the point,
when they signed him at first, he had he popped up at 2 or 3 of them, maybe. He's only got, that's his first of the season,
I could argue that he might even be good enough for the Premiership. I mean,
probably not.
He was never much of a goal scorer. I mean, I can't really remember him scoring.
He never really stood out as a goal scorer then.
He was a decent, solid centre midfielder.
Yeah.
He did score that, I remember he scored a very similar goal. It was Martin O'Neill's first game.
Yeah.
In the last minute, and they won 2-1.
They could have had more, if you think about it, there was a, Stephen Taylor had a ridiculous shirt pull in the box that he was lucky to get away with.
That was very early, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Early, and
Gouffran probably should have been sent off as well. For the atrocious tackle. Oh,
yeah. He left his foot right up.
I can't remember. I think it was Adam Johnson.
He left his foot over
the ball and stamped on his ankle.
Not great referee from Harold Webb. He's actually been demoted down to I think, League One even for
really?
The weekend. Yeah, I think he got a lot of criticism. There was a couple of decisions to Taylor. The Gotham one wasn't very good either. The Cisse offside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
do you think that could have changed the game?
It was only 1-0 at that point.
Yeah.
So
Sunderland had been the better team, though, at least. They had all the momentum.
Prior to you even mentioned this, they weren't good. But at that stage, when they had scored that goal, it could well have given them a second win and gone on. The crowd would have been completely lifted. It would have been a completely different atmosphere that they would have been in.
That's true. I think they might have been a bit tired from the Europa League.
Yeah,
during the week. They put too much into that. And it's great that they got to the quarterfinals, and it was great, but when you look at it, and you kind of go, if that is the sacrifice for not staying in the Premier League, it's
yeah,
not worth
it's not
it.
Worth it.
Yeah, so they do need to get results. Now, I know they have, what, 7 games left to pick up these results. 6 games left to pick up these results. And they're in a decent position, they've got an already team, and CSA has started to score a few goals.
Krull's missing now for the rest of the season,
good
which is unfortunate.
Shoulder
came in.
Rob Elliott.
Elliott, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was so disappointed, I have to say.
No,
I was
Steve
like,
Harper.
Steve Harper, he's going this year. He's leaving Newcastle after what? 20 years?
Amazing like that,
yeah.
Yeah,
of service. So like, I was thinking, as soon as I saw Krogan now, I was like, oh,
service
no, and I was
a
like,
strong word.
Yeah. Like, 20 years of being there, 4 years of service.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I was thinking, get him one last derby game, but no, he wasn't there. I was like, that's a bit disappointing, I have to say.
Although, you know,
Elliot was alright.
Pardew can't exactly, like, Elliot has been the backup to Krull.
Oh, I know.
Season,
I was just thinking.
He'll probably get a chance
to
like last game.
If
they're safe.
Yeah, he's not going to be sentimental as opposed to winning or at least doing what he thinks is
no,
best.
No, we're for sentimental football.
We haven't even touched on Di Canio's celebration.
We're
just
bringing up. It was Devon's goal and Di Canio just went.
No, he went fairly for all
of them. Yeah. My favourite was probably. Just the contrast because when you know they kind of did a bit of a pile on. I think it was I'm not sure if it was the first goal or second. I think it was the second goal when Adam Johnson.
Yeah, I don't
scored.
Think it's any point. Yeah,
and they kind of did
Johnson one was when he slid down on his knees.
No, that's what I mean. The last one was the one.
The last one when was when
he kind of hesitated,
kind of
but then
broke.
They did
the pile on. Yeah, that's what the one goal then where he kind of ran at them, and I was thinking how long before they're all piling on him, kicking the shit out after they've fallen out, you know. But yeah, they were. Pretty spectacular scenes of a slide.
Match of the Day 2 did a very strange thing. They interviewed him straight after the match, Colin Murray did. So it was a pre-recorded interview that they showed on Match of the Day. I know you didn't see it, but
it was peculiar.
It was very strange. It was a very poor interview, first of all. It was very awkwardly placed.
Yeah.
But I just think Match of the Day 2 just seemed like they were thrown in the towel at this stage. They just didn't look like they did any preparation on the show at all.
Well, Colin Murray probably thinks...
You get that feeling. It's like I know I'm off the end of the season kind of thing. It's like a manager is retired at the end of the season.
It's
a player who's moved to a different club.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't care.
You wouldn't see that from Steve Harper. He's gone at the end of the season. He's a ref, a qualified ref.
Is he?
Did you know that? No.
No.
Yeah.
You have to do something with all his free time.
Qualified referee, so he wouldn't be fair getting his cards. Yeah, that much.
Again, why not? Why did he become a ref? Do you think it's like one of those situations where the ref gets injured and the fourth official gets injured, so they have to bring Steve Harper
as a ref? He's even a backup as a referee.
Did this happen before, didn't it? I think it was a League Cup game years ago, about 10 years ago maybe, and there happened to be a referee in the crowd who had to come on for the second half.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't remember that at all.
I think it might be Mike Riley who had to come in as a ref. I can't off the top of my head remember if this is even true, but
I vaguely remember. I think the ref did get injured and he had to come off.
And they had to get somebody from the crowd. Mm.
I don't think it was a crowd. I think it could in the fourth official.
No, I think it was even it was much weirder than that. I think it was there happened to be a referee. There happened to be a referee in the crowd just there.
Is there a doctor in the house? I'm a referee. Also, worth pointing out, Jack Colback is hilariously pale. Like to the point of that it's just ridiculous when he comes on the pitch. It's like when you know when you like we don't watch WWE now, but when you see the Irish wrestler Sheamus go on and they're all like these bronzy men and he's just what like Jack Colback going on, it's just like oh mate, you know, factor 50.
It's not even that warm up there. It's no sun whatsoever. Moving on, Reading Liverpool, wonderful goalkeeper display from Alex McCarthy. Yeah.
Was it or did we make him look like an absolute wonderful goalkeeper?
No, there were some fantastic saves. Did Gerrard save him from the shot to the box? We just chose his hand to him.
I was more impressed by the one that Suarez absolutely hammered
and held on to.
That was quite good. Yeah,
because I was watching the game live and I thought as soon as I saw Suarez like catching it that well, I was like, this has to be a goal. And then I was like, hey.
He's not a goal.
It's in his hands.
It was
how did that happen? I really wanted. I was watching the because I was watching the match and then I watched the highlights on Match of the Day 2 the next day. I really wanted to watch the entire match with all the commentary and take out all the bits where they said the words Alex McCarthy.
I know. I was
and
only
put
thinking
it all
that.
Together.
McCarthy.
So much of it.
They use his first name a lot.
Always says Alex McCarthy. I think there was once on Match of Day 2 when he said just McCarthy.
I think they had 15 shots on target at Liverpool did or something like that.
It was 26 shots in total.
and 14
15 on target, yeah, and 11 off target. Well, 26 shots and no goals. I think that's bad for a Sunday league, that is.
I think Liverpool have had the most shots without scoring or something weird like that, some stat like that. The conversion is very low anyway.
A lot of people say we're just that close. I mean, I know it's not like not to winning the league, but if a few things kind of start going right and we start finishing games off.
Well, there was this, that was the argument last season. If you had won more home games, you would have been up there with a shout of, you know.
Yeah, but there's a lot four. Wrong last season, at least.
So Liverpool are out of a race for the top four. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, European football, possibly Europa League, if they next six games go very well. But
Rodgers came out and said, might not be the worst thing for us if we don't qualify for Europe. I was like, don't say that.
But it wouldn't, but that's...
But he said it before we drew nil all, so it was like, don't demotivate the team like that. It's like, I don't really mind if we win or lose, to be honest.
It's like, but it does make sense because, you know, these Europa League campaigns, they're just not going anywhere, you know what I mean? They're tiring the team out and you're starting the season much earlier. You might be right that if you don't qualify for Europe, he's not going to get sacked. He knows that things are going to go next season then. He won't have to play Europe, so there won't be a Thursday, Sunday. It's going to be a longer break between matches and you're going to be able to get the team going again. You're going to be able to be full of more energy and you might finish in the top four in the Champions League. Then you attract better players. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah.
Should I beat Liverpool manager?
Coutinho's looking good. I mean, he's one of the decent players we attracted. Scored an offside goal, which finished very classily. But doesn't matter. Didn't count.
What position would you like to see players ball? We're only talking about the defence. You know, just have difficult, to be, actually. Gonna have to be a defender at it.
Yeah, it's quite difficult to say.
You've got Suarez up front, who's a wonderful player, but then you say, do you need another striker?
The problem is that there's still questions over Joe Allen and Jordan Henderson in the midfield. I would probably like us to have another winger instead of Stuart Downing. But again, like, what are you going to do with Downing? Do you just sell him? Do you move him on? There's a big bunch of questions. We need some big impact players that are going to
step up, because I mean Jared's going to be another year older, another season on.
Replacing him is going to be a huge thing.
I mean, it never happens like that. So people always say like, oh, you got to replace, like, you know, when Vieira left Arsenal, it's like, oh, you're going to replace, like, you never really got to replace it. You had Fabregas who was coming in, Henri leaving, he's never going to replace that.
Yeah, like, I just mean replacing it with something else that will work.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to get that. But
I mean, James Bearing never turned out to be the lad we wanted, did he?
Yeah, but you're never going to get another Gerrard. Like, the chances of it are so slim. Like, you have to phase him out of the team rather than let him go. And like, you can't just one season have him and next season not. You can see it with Carragher. He's not as important, but he's been phased out of the team over the last few. He's actually played a lot recently for whatever reason, but he was phased out of the team for a season or two. And he was it last season he was asked if he's going to retire at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Reacted very angrily to that for some reason.
And then he retired the season.
Yeah. Now move on. Fulham and Villa drew 1-1. Kind of good point for Villa, I suppose, because they're down there at the end of the table with Reading drawn as well, though. Looked like Reading and QPR got both doomed. We'll touch on QPR in a minute. But
yeah, we said that last week.
Villa seems to be pulling away now.
Well, it'd be interesting between them and Sunderland.
Well, we're going to have two games in hand. They have got a lot of difficult games. They've got Man City tomorrow night on, but Wednesday night, whenever you're listening. They may have already played at this stage.
Yeah, they've also got Tottenham and Arsenal.
Great win for Wigan.
They've also got Tottenham and Arsenal like towards the end of the season.
Which are two huge games, especially two teams that are going for top four. Although, in fairness, Wigan usually beat Arsenal at the end of the season.
They beat Spurs away already this season.
Well, they are.
Yeah, well, one of the big games will be against West Ham as well, who aren't not in there.
I think they're
as well, but I mean, it's a game, they're probably one of the lower down clubs that they're facing.
Is it like, aren't just like, so many poor teams in the league this season, or what's going on?
I don't know, maybe they're just all so good. I mean, QPR spent millions and they're down there, you know, so it just shows anyone can get relegated if you spend it in the worst way possible.
Reading have an unbeatable goalkeeper for about 70 minutes, like, how are they down there, you know?
It's incredible stuff. But you look at United, though, they look like they're going to run away with the league, but they could finish with a record point tally. Like, I mean, and then there's so many teams so close to the bottom on 30, 34, 33 points. They're all sitting around that, and you're suddenly looking, Stoke are safe. Oh, wait, no, Stoke are on 34. They could get relegated. Oh, no, West Ham are safe, and they're on 36. And you're saying they're safe. And suddenly Newcastle are sucked back into because they lost, and Sunderland are still in it, even though they've won. You know, you kind of go, where's Southampton in this? They could still be relegated. It's crazy. Like, there's eight teams maybe that could still go down.
Well, if you're considering Southampton, they're 11th at this stage. That's almost the entire bottom half of the league.
That's the point. You've got two who look set to go down, but then you've got that one spot that you kind of go, oh, geez, anybody could finish there. It could be the end of the season could come, and Aston Villa could be in 17th or 18th spot. But if another week had been played, then it could have been Sunderland or it could have been Southampton. So, you know, it could be anybody. It's the nature of football, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Fulham drew Fulham, which is a poor result. And Zogby scored a nice goal, nice cut in.
Yeah,
and he hasn't done a lot this season.
No, not at all. It's kind of come on scene the last week or two, possibly because of injuries. Bonahore wasn't playing.
Bonahore missed, there. I think, because Bonahore has had a decent season. Scored maybe 10 goals, I think, which isn't bad for a Bonahore. Because, I mean, Benteke seems to be the only player who could score for so long. So if they have somebody else who scores, it really adds something to the team, I think. And Fabian Delph does what he does best, scores no goal.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. I don't see why he's still there, Fabian Delph. I don't see what's so good about him. I think all in all, he's really let the team down there. I don't think he's in any use at all.
What have Fulham got to play for now? Because they're sitting mid-table. We know they're safe already. We know they're safe. Going back to my earlier point. But they don't look like, you know, they went through a terrible run there for a while. They didn't look like they're picking up points. Then they started picking up some points. They're playing, I think they're playing Chelsea soon enough. I think it might be tomorrow night, actually, again. Wednesday night. Which is a derby for them, which would be a big match. But they don't really have a lot to play for. Like,
I think there's still a bit to play for there, considering y'all came out today and said that there's going to be big summer changes at the Cottage. So if you're in that team, I mean, you're going to want to be there next year, probably.
Yeah.
You might be playing for your place. That should be a little bit of a motivator, at least.
I think if he's saying that, though, you think he has a fair idea who he wants to get rid of and who he wants to keep. Like, they've got a good core of players. Like, they've got some nice players. They got Berbatov. They could do another striker. I don't think Petrus has done anything since the first.
Ruiz done all right. I mean, he made a
run. Yeah, but they have Ruiz. He's a bit of a luxury player to have.
Yeah, he made a run at one stage. I remember watching that game right through the middle of Villa's midfield and defence. I was like, nobody's closing him down. He's had way too much.
Yeah, that'll happen with Villa.
Then Berbatov should have scored the chance after it. But did you notice how much the pundits made of Schwarzer warming up through half time and then saving that? I can't even remember whose shot it was. Right at the start of the half.
Which one was that? The one that went behind him, kind of.
The one that they crossed and he got out to.
Yeah, that was a good save. Yeah.
He kept warming. He didn't go in. I think he went in the half time, came out early, warmed up, and they made so. It got reported like. So much, they're like, oh, it's great. It's like as if, maybe it was his choice, but I mean, I'm not sure. I think I'd have wanted him to make it.
See players doing that at halftime, but I mean, you see the subs warming up. Maybe he just thought, I want to get out there.
Maybe he fancied one of the subs and he was one.
Possibly. He's 40. I mean, he's probably sat through every kind of team talk there is. Why not just keep him warming up?
I'm too old for team talks. I want to go out.
I mean, we've discussed it off mic, I suppose you say, about like who's been the best goalkeeper in the league. And I was only talking to my brother about it yesterday.
Mm.
And I kind of said Schwarzer. And I just said, it's not that he's been outstanding. It's not like he's done anything amazing. I mean, like, it's hard to pick out one good goalkeeper this season, which is strange because last season we had so many in Forum and Kroll, and Joe Hart was outstanding in the league last season. I know he had his faults in the Champions League, but he was outstanding in the league for the most part. But this season, I said maybe Schwarzer, just because he's been so consistently okay. You know, he never makes mistakes.
It's
he saved
a
penalty.
To look at it, isn't it?
But he saved the penalty.
Why United have won the league or winning the league as well?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because they've been consistently okay. What a bad year!
But that's what United are steamrolling these because they're just like a machine. But Schwarzer, he saved the penalty the other week, and I can't remember who it was against. It was very important. He made two very good saves in that game the weekend, and he just kind of thinks like, well. He is a good goalkeeper. He always has been. He just maybe doesn't get the recognition that he deserves.
Yeah, well, I think he's well recognised because in Arsenal we're trying to sign him a year or two back, and
well, we relate to him. Yeah,
what did we kind of tried to force it and then ended up kind of being forgotten about a little because they were like, well, we can't really play you now because you did that, and then they just bring him back. But yeah, I think that's a fair shout actually that he'd be up there because you're right, nobody's been really that good.
Like, I mean, we'll talk about this. We'll obviously talk about this at the end of the season, which would be fun. it'd be very hard, you know.
It will actually be very difficult to pick any sort of team of the year.
Yeah, because you got to look and say, the usual suspects, just, you know, people go, oh, well, left back, Ashley Cole, like, oh, he has been good. And then you go, oh, right back you've got. And you kind of go, who has been a good right back? And then,
well, we'll have to save it to the end of the season. We'll have to study hard. We'll have to get big on stats. Yeah. So we'll have to do,
the
basically.
Stats man, the stats won't be back.
Ruth Hoban, getting a stats man hat on.
Getting the stats out for the
big
lads.
On getting stats. His stat hat. Didn't really work.
Stat
S-T-H-A-T.
Stat hat.
Stat.
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 Zap.
Zap.
Zap. Everton BQB.
That was a weird moment.
Yeah. It was.
You're a little, very sorry.
Everton BQPR 2-0. And it looks like QPR are down there. Surely there's no way back for them. I know we keep saying the same team. Julio Cesar has been good as well, actually.
Yeah,
true.
But anyway, what did I sound like?
You sounded as resigned as Harry Redknapp did.
Yeah, he was.
In his interview.
That's what I said. His first thing I have written down was that Redknapp's interview afterwards, where he's like, oh, we've got a home game and we've got to beat Arsenal, we've got to beat Tottenham. And it's like, well, obviously you've got to beat whoever you're playing. I don't think, not sure if it's Tottenham they have to play. But he said they have a few difficult games, but he's got to win their home games. They've got Stoke at the weekend.
It's a big game for
it's
Stoke.
It's a must win, but you got to think, like, for them to stay up, they'd have to win all six or seven games.
They're not going to stay up.
And the teams around, we said, like, all these teams are playing each other. That's the thing. Stoke are playing QPR now, okay? We've got all these teams, like Southampton, as we said, they could lose two games and suddenly they're dragged back into it. But that means that Newcastle will be out of it for whatever's happening. It's just crazy that there's so many teams in there, but I think QPR and Redknapp are gone.
I think it was very funny though with his interview with Harry Redknapp, because he was kind of like, you know, they talked a little bit of the game and then he went, oh well, what can I say? And I was like, ah, oh, there it is. Is it like, I was expecting to go, what can I say? I probably won't be here next year.
Just here for the money. Actually, funny enough, because QPR have taken out a loan this week.
They've
got a loan approval.
I didn't 15 minutes.
Yeah, they've got a loan. They took it. Apparently, it was finalised after they'd lost to Villa 3-2. 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Preparing to go down, probably.
It seems to be now. Fernandez said that it's the loan to be approved like 3 months ago, and it's just to pay off debts, other debts of the club, because he's put in, you know, whatever, 70
that's
million.
That's good. Other debts.
He's put 70 million into the club himself, and he said, oh, we're paying off other debts with this 15 million. But he got to look and say, well, I mean, you spent an absolute fortune. You spent, what, 15 million on Sambo? 10 to 15 million on Sambo. He's on.
That's probably what that 15 million is.
He's on somewhere near 100 grand a week. You've got Remy in there, who's probably on some nonsense money as well. And he won't be at the Ford as well in the Championship. I know, like,
he did say that, at least said this year, this week. I don't know what some of these players are going to do, because they don't look good enough to play for me, and not a lot of people will take them with the wages they're on.
Yeah, that's a great way to try to get rid of your
players. Yeah, exactly. It's like, Jesus. You really just try to... He's trying to make it an unmanageable job so that you go, oh, I can't do this, yeah. I leave.
Can't sell these players. I heard the point of people saying, remember that famous interview? Couldn't believe it was the last season or the season before, when they're saying, oh, you're a great wheeler dealer.
Yeah,
and says,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
not an effing wheeler dealer.
Oh, Harry, no.
Yeah, but if he was a wheeler dealer, he's a very bad wheeler dealer, because he can't get rid of these players. And the way he's trying to sell these players is by going, oh well, Basingua, who's going to pay his wages, he's crap. Or like that's not a fair example, actually, because somebody probably would pay his wages. There are other players in there, like, you know, who aren't great. Granero's probably on huge money and hasn't looked great.
Granero, I'm so excited about seeing him. He was linked with Liverpool and Arsenal and Tottenham like
a
year or two ago, and he was a decent player. He was. I was like, he doesn't want to play there. He really doesn't.
Yeah. Doesn't want. I don't think any of them do, though, do they?
Possibly not.
No.
It's fair. Clint Hill does, though.
Yeah, Clint Hill does. Let's talk about the football itself. Everton
yeah.
won 2-0. And Darren Gibson scored a goal. It was...
Right. After Clint Hill fouled Coleman for what was a definite penalty.
It was an own goal.
Yeah, but just before that, he gave away what should have been a penalty.
But it wasn't given.
But wasn't given. And then, yeah, it, the only reason it's not an own goal is because it was going on target, and we all feel a little bit sorry for Clint Hill.
It went through his legs, though. I mean, he closed his legs, closed his knees over, but it still managed to go through. And went in, went that goal, and went in. It is, you know, it was unlucky, but in my opinion, it's an own goal. But we'd give it to Darren Gibson if you really wanted it, I suppose. You know.
It's only a second goal for Everton, so I think he might want it.
Well, remember, he scored one against Man City last season.
Yeah,
that was
the first
deflection, yeah. That was through deflection as well, though.
Will he ever hit one that's not? He
can hit them, but
well, does he need to? He's getting the goals when they're deflected.
Bosinga was awful in the match as well. He got really torn apart. Seamus Coleman was brilliant. He got torn apart.
And each of you hit the crossbar from about 8 yards. I don't know how he managed it.
He hit the post as well.
Sorry, hit the post.
It was lovely skill to kind of move the ball back from
Hill,
and then curled it but hit the post.
How did he hit the post? He just had to, like, it was like, no, turn in. Victor, you're pointing the wrong way. Turn in. But he scored a few minutes later from like 3 yards. It was like, you couldn't hit the post from there now.
But according to the linesman, he worked really, really hard for that. Or not the linesman, the commentator.
What's the linesman doing in anything?
Referees weighing in their opinions. This is the linesman popping up, and fantasy did work.
He worked really hard for that. I have to give it to him. But he's offside. He's working really hard. The commentator on BBC is like, he's worked really, really hard for that. I was like, so? I've seen players, their coaches work really hard, but not get many goals. Do they deserve goals in every match he plays?
Hey, their account deserves everything.
Actually, I was meant to say in the Villa Fulham game when Delph scored the own goal, the commentator on BBC went a bit crazy because it was the Robot Wars commentator.
Oh, as he does.
And he kind stopped making sense. It was like, and sometimes this happens in football, and men are men, and justice is justice. And I can't remember the words he used, but it was like, it's... sometimes it happens and men are men and this happens. I was like, what are you trying to say?
In fairness, I'd go mad as well if I used to watch Hypnodisc and now I'm watching Fabian Delph score on goals.
It's a bad career path.
Yeah. Stick with the Hypnodisc.
Yeah, I always stick with
it. I think he was always a football commentator as well though. But we all remember from Robot Wars. that was the highlight of his career.
Speaking on now.
The highlight of Craig Charles, that's his name, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
About Dwarf? Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of, you were talking about commentators there, we discussed this before. David Moyes was on Match of the Day.
Yeah, very
strange. Following the win, and was sitting between Keon and Hanson, who sort of proceeded to talk about his future in the game while he sat there in the middle and didn't answer. Martin Keown's was especially weird when he turned and kind of nearly leaned over looking at Hanson. Like, it was almost as if, you know, you're trying to ignore someone that you're not friends with anymore or something like that. And he leaned over and spoke over his lap and was like, you know, I don't know how David could leave this young group, because you think of the likes of an Ichibi and Morales coming through, and no one answered him. There, I was like, cut away,
cut to the next match. Everton played Arsenal tonight as well, which is just over about an hour ago at this stage. It was nil all.
Scrappy old affair.
Yeah, it was a real scrappy, like a lot of bookings, especially for Everton players.
The whole of the midfield?
The whole of the midfield got booked.
Well, the centre midfield, but...
Well, Barkley, no, they all got booked.
Yeah, the three centre midfielders, pretty much.
Barkley, Fellaini, Gibson and Pienaar got booked.
Oh yeah, Pienaar as well. Just Morales.
It was five midfield. It was a very scrappy game, and we only saw the match live. Weren't really many chances though. Giroud had one or two. He had one particular.
He had one that he should have buried. That it was a Walcott cross. Walcott had a good enough game. Put a lovely ball into him, and he really should have put that away.
Had a very poor game, as you pointed out.
Yeah,
the game really drifted by him.
We'll talk about at the end of the season, like players we thought were regressing and stuff. But he's one. Maybe not even just from his own football styles. It's taken him a while to get back into it. But certainly opinion on him will have certainly regressed as to the type of player he is, because he's not lived up to much at all. He looks very average a lot in the midfield.
There's that sort of patience that comes with, he's back from a big injury.
Yeah.
Like, give him a few weeks, he might be much better. Yeah, exactly. But he hasn't gone on at all from that.
I still think he's in recovery. I think, you know, we'll give him next year is when he'd want to be kicking on and doing something. But just out of pointing it out, I'd say a lot of people at this age won't expect big from him now, because what I've seen this year, I'd be like,
That's what he's doing.
Maybe
strategy.
That's the thing. Maybe if he kicks on next season, he'll change my opinion.
People do forget that these players are so young. The same with Wilshere, the same with Tom Cleverley, in particular. Like, they're all young British midfielders, and even same with Joe Allen, to a certain extent. That they are so young that you expect a lot. Like, you. Some of the greatest.
Still have plenty of time to hit Torres level and then hit Torres level, up and then down.
Now, players like, you could even say Frank Lampard took a couple of years before he was really a great midfielder. Like, he had his time at West Ham, moved to Chelsea, Caesar to a Grafton, and then Mourinho came and turned into a world class player. You know, these players that don't turn out, like Gerrard, probably when he came in, at first was a fantastic player, like nearly hit the ground running.
He was good at getting a red card.
No, he also did. I remember giving out about him in his young days as well.
He was very reckless.
Yeah, well, just thinking, oh, he's not up to it in the midfield there. Like, and Jesus, I was wrong. I was a kid watching the game, so. But he did have games where you were unsure about him, and he also Hulijek did that whole putting him out on the right midfield thing a lot.
What a player
between him and Danny Murphy.
Yeah,
popping him out on the right.
Well, see, there was a lot. There was Hamal and Murphy were there already in midfield. McAllister had come in as well at one stage. I know.
Just keep saying that name to me.
Would have been a little bit after Jared Bennett. I mean, another example would be like Pirlo, a player who started his career, didn't really do anything for a lot of years. Yeah. And, he was let go by Inter Milan and went to AC Milan. Still didn't do a lot for a while. Then suddenly just became this fantastic player.
The Italian Gary McAllister, you mean?
Yes, that's
the same thing applies with Xavi and
Xavi
to a certain extent Iniesta as well.
I think more so Xavi. Xavi had it.
Yeah.
He was a good player, but he was nearly sold. Well, not nearly sold, but he was linked with United.
He was dropped a lot, like, for...
Yeah.
At one stage, he was...
He had 5-6 great seasons, but he also had 4 or 5 seasons where maybe Barcelona weren't up to, as high a standard as they are now, obviously. They were under... They did fall apart for a while, Rijkaard's 4th season there wasn't great, and they were rebuilding for the future. But anyway, there's a chance for some of these young midfielders that might even be a chance for Jordan Henderson.
I mean, Steven Henderson. Yeah. Well, he's looked better in the second half of the season, so let's see how he gets on.
We give him the benefit.
Lucas Leiva also penned a nice long-term contract this week, which is good. Kind of getting him for hopefully his best years, because he's getting old as a player, getting to the peak, what you would expect
be
as a midfielder's peak, yeah. Mm. And he seems to be coming off the back of injuries and kind of putting them behind them, so it's open.
Arsenal also beat Norwich 3-1 at the weekend. It wasn't a great result at the end. Well, it was a good result, it was the fact that Arsenal were behind and could not score for 85 minutes before a penalty, which Chris Hughton seemed a bit aggrieved because the linesman gave and not the referee, even though it's the kind of thing we want in football. We want the linesman to be calling these decisions if the referee doesn't see them, because Giroud has pulled back, he's taken away from the ball. Okay, this does happen a lot in football, but it's not directly from the corner that you're pushing at somebody. Giroud has been pulled and he's pulled away from the ball. It's not fair that he's pulled away from the ball, and Hughton seemed disappointed that the referee didn't see it, but the linesman did.
I think Hughton was more just frustrated, wasn't he? It was post-match frustration at having thrown away 3 points, or at least a point in 5 minutes. So I think it was
Giroud scored 2 minutes after that.
I think it was frustration from his point of view, but I mean, you're right. There's no defending it. It's as you were saying last week about Tony Pulis. I don't think Luton scores much goals. That doesn't matter. That means absolutely nothing to this game. The referee got it right.
Mm. I think Arsenal probably the better. They were definitely the better two teams. There were some great shots. Gervinho had one we brought by the keeper and just hit wide, because he overran it a bit, which he does a lot.
Yeah.
Podolski had a great shot that Bun just tipped up onto the or just over the bar as well. And eventually Podolski did score, despite not starting, and despite saying that he's disappointed with the lack of starts so far this season, or this year, since the turn of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something you wouldn't expect. It's only his first season. And
it was an excellent goal by Podolski as well.
Yeah, it was. It was really a lovely
good
turn.
That's what he's good at. That exact thing that he turn did there is what he's good at. Yeah. Giroud's was a bit of a strange one as well. I told you guys that I had to rewind it 3 times so that I could see he scored it. And originally no one celebrated with him. Did you see that?
Yeah,
Oxlade-Chamberlain went
towards
Oxlade. I think because they all thought it was an own goal, so they Oxlade-Chamberlain, but it wasn't. It was Giroud. You could actually see Giroud get his foot on it.
Well, it went down to originally I saw it, and it was a Tetti own goal, was it? Was it Tetti?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why.
And then it was put down as a Giroud goal.
But Giroud was just by himself at the net, and everyone else was celebrating. It was like, he did actually score that. That's good. Tell you what I saw. Brazil flag in the Norwich crowd.
I saw that as well.
Yeah.
What is the story there?
I'd like to find out.
I don't know if it's just Brazilian people there or...
I'll have to look that up. I'll see if I can find that for next week.
I kind of thought to myself, maybe it's an Arsenal fan, but we don't have any Brazilian players for Central
No, but it was in the Norwich.
I know, but I was just thinking maybe it's just an Arsenal fan happened to be there
trying
to get tickets. But then I thought, but we don't even have, the Nielsen's out on loan, so Santos is no Brazilians.
Mm.
We don't have Julio Baptiste anymore.
No, I'll have to check that out now. I'll see if I can find it for next week.
I'm surprised we both saw that. It was quite strange.
If anyone knows, at 12 Man Podcast and the 12 Man Podcast at hotmail.com.
Yeah, I'm surprised. But anyway, look, we'll just give a quick mention to the United beat Stoke there's not really much to say there. Stoke, the only thing that comes to me is Stoke are closer to the bottom of the table. You know, they're closer, one step closer to win the league.
Van Persie finally scored.
Van Persie did,
and it was his.
Liked it.
He did celebrate.
That celebration was hilarious. The Ferguson one. Did you see how awkward it was? It started off as when he ran a Ferguson from a distance, right? So yeah. It took time, and then Ferguson had his hand up for a high five, to which Van Persie opened his arms, right, hugged Ferguson. So Ferguson then joined in the hug, and then they kind of jumped. So it started off as a high five, turned into a hug, and then turned into this chest bump hug jump. It was so awkward. And then he went over and just high fived someone that you couldn't see in the bench as well. Yeah. It was like, what's he doing?
After the match, in one of the interviews Ferguson did, he was like, oh sure, he forgets I'm a, he must forget I'm a 71-year-old man. You know, sure, he nearly knocked me over when he came over. I was like, knock him over.
That'd be a great celebration.
I don't think anyone could knock Alex Ferguson over. I don't think I'd ever see him on his back.
He's an old man.
I don't see him on his back, actually, don't I say.
Oh dear. FA Cup, lads.
Yeah.
FA Cup semi-finals when you play.
Which one?
The Very underwhelming. I mean, they were on telly, so I wasn't even bothered with them, to be honest.
Oh, you're taking away from the magic of the cup. The magical magic that makes the cup magical.
I mean, the cup is magical when, you know, Bradford's in the Carling Cup. That was magical. But this, you know, it's great that Wigan are there, but Wigan, Millwall, Man City, Chelsea, on the same weekend that other Premiership games being played, just wasn't interesting.
Yeah, it didn't stand out, I think.
I don't have an interest in the FA Cup. I just don't. I know people said... You know, look, if of course we're still with
that. It's terrible for a host of a football podcast.
It's not that I won't watch it. Of course I'll watch the final, but I mean, it's just kind of...
Be like watching your kids play or something, like, you know, Calamity Jane or Peter Pan or something on a play. Have to go and watch Citra after Citra, this shit again.
It does feel a bit like that sometimes, yeah. Chelsea lost to Man City.
I actually quite enjoyed that game.
Yeah,
I thought
it was a very good game.
That was one I actually got. I mean, it was on... Luckily, it was on the same time as United and Stoke, which was just...
Which was one of the problems.
Standard game of fouls. So it was like, I don't want to watch this. But yeah, no, I actually thought it was very... Chelsea were horrendous in the first half, I thought. I thought they were terrible.
They had no midfield at all.
Yeah.
It was like they had their line of defence, and then they played whatever it was, 3 or 4, the kind of forward-thinking players. And then Mikel and Ramirez were just like... Which one are we? Should we be?
Yeah, Torre was one of riot trip.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I would say Torre picked up the ball and ran about 50 yards and just kind of...
Picked it up.
Yeah.
And the ref didn't even... He didn't
bring his cards still.
Yeah, he forgot his cards. He
just got hit by a horse.
He got the ball and ran about 50 yards and just nobody tackled him. Yeah. It was shocking.
Cech seemed the only decent player for Chelsea in the first half. He had a good enough game, Cech, but he was... Like, I was watching the game, I was like, no one seems to be trying. They're in the semi-final. I know they have another semi-final, but it's not like you go, oh, two, we don't care now, you know?
Yeah. And to them, I think, I think the FA Cup might be a bit more important than the Europa League to Chelsea, because it's been their tournament, FA Cup lately. They won, three of the last five or so.
I still think the Europa League's important, though. I think silverware in general, I know, like...
No, I don't mean it's not important. I mean, plenty of other teams do this, but the Chelsea, the FA Cup is kind of their tournament. They always seem to win it.
Yeah.
They're always there.
But if you think of, like, I mean, we'll get on to the Europa League in a few minutes, but... Like, I mean, there's some interesting games there, and to think they could win a European trophy, surely must... I mean, there's the likes of Bertrand, who's, like, starting to come into the squad. Surely he must be very hungry to get his first European medal, like, whatever.
He would have got a Champions League medal.
He played in the final last
week. Oh, he would have, yeah, you're right.
A lot of
doesn't matter.
I'm sure he's keen
to add to it.
I mean, so is Hazard, though.
Yeah.
Those kind of players.
Exactly.
I was definitely looking for...
Well, there you go. Attackers. That's why they weren't doing that well in this game.
Azpilicueta.
Relatively poor recently. Azpilicueta. Yeah.
Has a great season.
No.
As I was saying, Nasri got a goal. Not a very good goal. Kind of.
Now he says he's playing brilliant.
A bit of interchange between himself and, was it Silva or Aguero? I'm not sure. It came to him. You look, he should have shot. And then decided to pass back. The ball bounced to him and then he shot the ball in. Got quite lucky with the goal. He's playing very well lately, according to himself.
Yeah.
And it makes him great.
I wonder how much Mancini wants to punch him out for saying that.
Yeah. That's about 3 weeks after He's playing very, very poorly.
Yeah.
Like, I still think he's playing poorly. I still think he's poor in that game.
He's got a poor season. He's been
Yeah.
He had a very, an alright season last season.
He's turned himself into a bit of a luxury player, like you pointed out with Ruiz. He's turned himself, he used to be far more hard, not even hard worker, but he used to get involved.
He used to play in the wrong position at Arsenal, though. And then you consistently said that he should be playing centre midfield. And, you know, I was agreeing. So he played his best football through centre midfield. And 6 months at Arsenal through centre midfield, he was brilliant, but he doesn't get that chance.
Yeah.
He gets shunted out wide again. If he had stayed with us, and I said it before, when Fabregas left, that's he would have got it.
Because he couldn't play tomorrow centre midfield and be good. He'd need to take that role over time and get used to playing with, you know, the likes of who's around him. Because with Man City, you won't get that. They'll be swapping and changing every week. It'll be Milner, then Milner will be out wide, then it'll be Yaya Toure. So he needs to play, as you said, if he stayed with Arsenal, he'd play consistently in the midfield.
Himself, Fabregas and Son in that midfield the season before he left. Midfield. The season before he left.
How sad are you? Just mention those three names there.
Just, it happened to be before we started recording. Sky Sports were showing classic matches, and it was Liverpool 4, Arsenal 4 from a couple of years ago. And Nasri was playing, Fabregas was playing. There were other kind of players.
Fabio Aurelio.
But a song would be there. I didn't know if he was playing, but he would have definitely been there at the time. And you kind of go, oh, such a good promising new team when you look at where those players are now. And you kind of go, like Van Persie as well. And look and say, why can't we keep these kind of good players? Why do we keep, like when we sold Song, it was like, it's great. Wenger came out and said, oh, this is great achievement that we've brought through a player, we turned him into a world class player. Hey, great, but don't sell him.
Yeah, and now we don't own him. That's a great achievement.
Anyway, I don't want to get into that.
No, it's we're saying for Aguero's header, absolutely magical header as well.
Great run as well. A little spin off. Was it Luis?
Oh, it was such poor defense. I think I'm trying to think if it was Luis. I can't remember now. Yeah. No, it was Ivanovic. Yeah, just really just did not pick him up at all. Like, what, stayed with him. And then Aguero kind of did that spin off thing. And then Ivanovic went, I'll look in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And just forgot about him. Grey header.
It was, for everything great he did, it was a terrible tackle on Luis later in the game.
Oh, yeah, atrocious.
What do you make of that?
Well, it was just ridiculous. Like, I don't even know what he's trying to do, because I see it looks like he gets angry because Luis kind of his arm kind of comes up, so it seems like he's trying to be like, get
even with him.
But it's such a weird way to try to get even with someone.
Yeah,
like
if you annoyed me now, I'd probably kick you up the arse.
No, but like it's not even like a proper kind of lash out at him. It's like a real childish sort of. I'm just gonna throw something at him.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous how it wasn't seen. I mean, when you watch it in the replay, like, I mean, you could see it. You could see it bright as day.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
when it happens. When you see the replay again, you think, how is that not a bit? Like, it's too outrageous to not have been spotted. It looks like it's a drop kick. It's a drop kick to Luis's arse.
We already discussed this before we recorded as well, that he should be punished for it because the referee didn't give the free kick for that incident. It was the foul previous to and that, in fact, you're going to get punished for that kind of thing because it is an off. It was not an off the ball incident. It's an incident that happened. It wasn't punished. It wasn't seen by the referee, so it could be brought forward to disciplinary, but wasn't for some reason. Like, I mean, you cannot get away with that. Luis came after the match, and whether it was on Twitter or wherever, he said
he forgave him.
Well, no, he said that he thinks Guerrero should man up and admit that.
Oh, did he?
Well, he said it kind of in the same sort of interview. He was kind of saying he thinks he should come out and admit it. If he does that, it's fine with him, sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, why doesn't Aguero admit it? You know, it's just strange. Anyway, no point dwelling on that. Demba Ba scored a wonderful goal.
He did. It's worth noting that up until that point, Pantilimon had actually done a very good job in goals.
He made a wonderful save. Mata was running through where he got
at
down
his feet,
and he put his arms or just stretched out so far
very
and he touched the ball.
That's what happened.
Brave.
6'8" though.
I know.
Yeah, that's the thing, but it's still very brave. I mean,
it was brilliant. Yeah,
you know, Czech can turn the other end saying easy, mate. Like
we assume they're going to persist with him in the final as well because he's played the rest of the cup games, and you know, if anything, the Chelsea game is going to be
it'd be pity if they dropped him and brought Joe Harton. But it's going to be their only trophy this year, so and Joe Harton
win it.
Yeah, but like it's going to be their only chance for a trophy. So if Joe Hart might not be too happy to miss out on that, so we'll have to see.
You could argue that, but Joe Hart just have to take it that.
I know, but it's similar to what we were saying last week about Casillas. fair point, coming back in the team, you know. But anyway, sorry, not to take away from the Demba Ba goal,
which was a goal,
excellent goal.
I mean, he stretched so far to actually get a touch on him. It was funny because Pantilimon, is that how you say Pantilimon? He jumped kind of after the ball was in the net. I know we see it in slow motion, you can't judge him for it, but he kind of looks and then jumps, and you're like, you're never going to get to that. You jump for the sake of it now at this stage. Wigan beat Millwall 2-0, and it was, again, that match was overshadowed by violence that happened outside the stadium, around the stadium, because it was a later kickoff.
In the stadium.
And in the stadium,
which was truly awful.
What I really want to talk about in the stadium was the empty seats. I mean, it was a. You talk about,
they addressed that beforehand, though. Martinez said that they only sold, how many was it? I can't even remember the numbers.
They didn't sell the full allocation.
12, yeah.
12. But there were huge
players at all bought one each and one of the subs.
Like, I mean, to say that the whole 90,000, you could argue there are only about 50 or 60,000 people there. And that's, you know, I don't know what the official attendance was, but then you got a lot of tickets that get sold in corporate events and stuff like that, or to sponsors and all. There's a chance there weren't a lot of them there. And you kind of teach yourself, like, this is it's why I said you kind of become a bit disillusioned with the FA Cup, because it doesn't seem to matter to teams that much. Like, okay, Millwall, Wigan aren't going to have a huge following, but there's no neutrals going to that game.
I disagree. Yeah, I just don't think there's a huge population of Wigan fans, to be honest.
No, I understand that.
I think it's important to all of those fans. I mean, this is a big opportunity for Wigan.
No, it is, and it should be. But the neutrals is like, we're the football fans.
Yeah.
Where are those guys that, you know, want to go and watch a bit of football?
Bloody Millwall aren't helping things, are they?
I suppose. Really,
kind of fighting each other in the stadium. Absolute morons. But we won't give them
too much attention. Fighting each other.
What's the ridiculous thing about it? But we won't give them too much attention.
Actually,
we don't want to talk about that.
I found it kind of interesting that ITV had... I mean, they obviously have rights to any FA Cup match. They decided not to show that game. They only showed the Chelsea one. And all of the coverage was, this is the big one. This is... Everyone's kind of like, that's kind of mean on.
Well, they only. Well, they
only. Sure. Like,
they have a record after San Marino.
of being hard.
Belittling.
Exactly.
But it is. It's very much that. Like, I don't think it should matter who's playing the FA Cup semi final. If you have coverage,
you might find there's more behind it than that. I mean,
well, yeah, okay, yeah. Maybe, but you'd imagine that if the Chelsea Man City game was on the Saturday. That would have been shown.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's a good point.
Shown.
I think it's a little different in that case, but I think you're right. I think that they shouldn't be belittling them as they were before. Do you think Wigan have any chance at all? Because ITV seemed to build up that, or not ITV, ESPN, who did broadcast it. Thanks, guys.
ITV broadcast the Euro.
ESPN did broadcast that one. But they seem to say it depends what Wigan team turns up on the day. I don't really agree with that.
I think it's the Wigan team from the 1960s. Then they'll get battered.
The Wigan rugby team might turn up. I don't think Wigan...
Well, he's picked up the ball and he's been sent off, and they should really understand the rules.
I don't think...
The old commentator of the BBC.
Yeah, it was like the very first BBC commentator in black and white.
Match of the day. Next.
I don't think there's... I don't think there's the bad Wigan and the good, the bad, and the ugly Wigan. I don't think there's just such a divide. I think they come into form on the end of the season and start going all out and putting everything in it. But I still don't think it's like, oh, it depends what Wigan turns up in the day. The Wigan that can beat Man City 4-0 or the Wigan that will lose 4-0. It's not that easy.
You wonder, it's the kind of... Because the FA Cup final is so close to the end of the season, it doesn't matter to Man City anyway. But... to Wigan, it's hugely important because they're going to have to play, I think they play Arsenal the Wednesday before the FA Cup final, because the fixtures have been rearranged. So
no, it's Swansea. They play before the FA Cup final. Arsenal after.
So they play Swansea beforehand. So they might go and rest a few players there thinking, oh, well, do we want to win? But then surely staying in the Premiership is far more important than winning the FA Cup. And again,
I don't think
that
they will rest players. I think they'll...
But they, you know, you have to... Your players are tired at the end of the season anyway.
Not Wigan's, as you've seen.
they haven't been playing for the first 7 months.
That's true, yeah. But you got a question. It's like, what do they want more? And that's, again, takes away from the FA Cup if they're it's more important to stay in the league. And I think it is way more important to stay in the league.
Yeah.
But what will they prioritise?
Birmingham That's a great example. They won
the Carling Cup, yeah. They've gone down. They could even be relegated again. Like, yeah. I mean, that's how bad things are.
But we'll get to that. I think we'll probably end up watching the Cup all together, all cheering for Wigan.
Well, I think we all want Wigan to win. You're asking about chances. Like, they play Man City tomorrow night. Ironically enough, that's the way it happens.
Yeah.
But I mean, they could just go get thumped tomorrow night. And then you're going to... Is the FA Cup final going to be any different? Great, it's a big occasion. And you think, well, the players are obviously going to be up for a big occasion. But look at the Bradford Swansea game. Completely one-sided. Yeah.
Great game, though.
I mean, but completely one-sided. The better team won by a long way.
Luckily, we're neutrals and we can just enjoy the football for what it is, you know?
True. Sean Maloney had a great game in the Wigan... in the Wigan Millwall game. He got man of the match and he's been playing quite well lately. I'm just giving him a mention.
Yeah, he deserves it. It's about probably about time.
Yeah, well, we were saying he played well at the same last season.
Yeah,
but
he's a very Wigan player, isn't he? He's just popping up at the end of the season with a few.
But he's gone through so much like of not playing and then just suddenly pops up at the end of the season.
Playing in Scotland doesn't count as not playing.
No, well, I think he was signed what was it, last January, I think. Or was it even during the summer?
Just before that,
he didn't play at all.
For ages.
And then he came in. It was like, oh yeah, he's pretty good.
I remember Mo being good at set pieces.
Yeah, he was always quite good at set pieces.
He's about 5'4". He's tiny.
He's very small. Really, he was also born in Malaysia. There you go.
Was he?
There's a fact for you.
I did not know that. Thank you.
He's been playing for Scotland.
Because he's Scottish. He was born in Malaysia.
Yeah, but he'd probably work out some way to play there. I'd watch that.
Why would he rather play Malaysia?
Yeah. I don't know. Probably get more game.
When you have Christophe Bearer in that Scotland squad, he's French. Doesn't count. And Chris Uwalumo, you can get him back in there. He's English and Welsh. I'm just struggling, can't think of any more. Oh, Harry's born
Charlie
Canada.
Adam. He's from Mordor or something.
Charlie Adam, no.
Yeah.
It's from the desert, Charlie Adam. He's never had a vitamin in his life, that chap.
Who was it, the Italian player who was born in England? He won the World Cup in 2006. I can't remember which one of them it was.
Cool question.
It sounds kind of like the Italian rugby team.
I think he was born the same.
Filled with people who are not Italian.
I'll tell you what. How was that? That's our question of the week, lads. At 12
we don't know the answer
on Twitter. And a shiny nickel to whoever works it out, because we don't know the answer. So
we should know the answer, though. I'm thinking Panucci, but I don't think it is Panucci, because I don't think he would have been there at the time. Anyway, look, gonna move on. Europa League, Tottenham lost the ball.
They did.
And
who took all the flack for that?
Adebayor.
He did. And he suffered in the papers and on the tweeters. And the day before, the moment he missed, I was like, he's going to take some huge stick.
But even when he came up to take it, I was like, who let him take one?
No, I'd let him take one, but I'd tell him after.
I was in no way confident that he would have scored.
He used to take them first and scored them regularly.
That's why I'd have
been
confident.
It's a different Adebayor, though.
I know.
He was playing terrible. He clearly had no confidence in that game at all.
I think he just didn't have a lot of energy.
Adebayor's had Fernando Torres-style drop in form, but possibly even to a worse extent, because he had one wonderful season at Arsenal when he was great. And he's just terrible. Terrible. He was
in our time at Madrid for a little while, and the same at Spurs. I don't think he's been that bad, but I think his is more like Torres still runs around and does a lot, but doesn't score or messes up somehow.
Gets in the way of him. Just
never looks that bothered, and I think that's why he gets so much more stick. It'd be like if Berbatov was playing as bad as he was. I'm sure Berbatov would get the same kind of stick.
It's fair, but although friends to Berbatov, this season he's been dropping deep a lot and setting a play around him.
Yeah, but you know what I mean by that kind of player.
Yeah,
it's the same type of thing. Like, as I said last week, I'd prefer to see Jermaine Defoe in there most of the time.
They just need him. Sorry, I said play Dempsey up front, and Dempsey got a goal in that match.
He did. He was playing.
You got two goals.
Did he get both?
Yeah, he did. They were wrecked, though, Tottenham, and the last thing they needed was extra time.
The last thing they needed was
sent off. Vertonghen got sent off in the 92nd minute or something. And it's just like, just let them score. Let them score and save yourself all that trouble.
Well, it seemed like the way that it went was that they got the extra time and they were like, right, just have to get the penalties. And it seemed like if there was a stage past penalties, they would have thought, right, we just have to get to that point. Have to get, and just kind of keep rolling like that. It's like, there was no desire to act. Well, I mean, obviously there was a desire to win, but there was no way that they could figure out, how can we possibly win this thing?
Yeah.
The best we can achieve here is a draw. and eventually we're going to lose.
Well, no, at least when they got the penalties, they could have gone, well, they wouldn't have gone, oh, it's the lottery of the penalty shootout, which I hate.
Yeah.
I was waiting for them to say that, and they didn't, so I was like, okay,
fine. And it's the lottery of the penalty shootout. Yeah,
it's like, it's not a lottery.
Damn you, old BBC commentator.
Yeah. It's not a lottery.
Yeah. If you're good at penalties.
Flip the coin. Heads, you miss. Oh, for God's sake. Then you have to kick it wide.
Just have it flip the coin, see who wins.
That used to happen, actually.
No, just do it now. Just before teams even play. Just they flip the coin.
Just everyone gets kitted out. And instead of flipping to see who takes tip, they just think, flip it.
They think,
all right, 3 points to you.
Yeah, they think they're getting tip. No, you've lost.
What?
Yeah, that's it. Game over.
If they call heads, you press call tails. And you see, wins.
Ref, what are you talking about? Is that the... All right, you're melting off now. I'm going to give you a red 10-match ban.
Newcastle lost Benfica and Chelsea beat Rubin Kazan. So Chelsea played Bal.
Well, Chelsea didn't actually beat Rubin Kazan.
But they actually lost Rubin Kazan. They still went through. Yeah.
In the most Rafa Benitez way possible. They went through on like a losing aggregate score. A winning aggregate score.
Well, obviously not a losing aggregate score.
Losing, but winning on an aggregate
they,
score.
They play Bal in the semi-finals now. And Benfica play Lazio, isn't it? Sorry.
After meeting Newcastle.
Fenerbahce. So they play each other in the semis.
Mm. Newcastle and a team that just looked tired and as you said, affected.
And affected them on the weekend again.
It's benefited some of these players, though, for Newcastle, because they've had the likes of Marvel, who've now got to have a run out against European teams, some big European teams. So, beneficial to them.
But in a way, it's been very unbeneficial because
it's kind of like... It was good for them to be in it, like, and some of those players actually did really well. Like, the group stages was great for them, but it got more detrimental as the further they went on.
Yeah. I still think it's good for them because I don't think they're a team that would have been pushing for a top place this year. And I know they're not totally safe yet, but I don't think they're going to be relegated. So I think they can go, right, well, this is a good year to build on type of thing.
Well,
same way Fulham. I mean, Fulham weren't in the Europa League, and you're saying they don't really have much to play for at the moment. Like, at least some of the players at Newcastle, who are still gelling as a team, will have gotten a taste for that kind of European competition now.
The Fulham were in the Europa League a couple of years ago. Let's not forget they got to the final.
Oh, no, I know.
And that season, they got to the final, but they were crap in the league.
Yeah.
They wound up finishing, I think it was 10th or 11th, and they qualified for the Europa League again because of the fair play, was it? I think.
Yeah, because they got the least amount of yellow cards.
Yeah, something like that. But
which is the worst. It's like, you know, it's when you're at a summer camp, summer camp, and you don't win because you're like the best player and the top goal scorer. You're like the happiest boy award. Oh, yay, Fulham.
It's kind of like how Wigan will end up now in the Europa League next season.
Mm. Are they
because
in it?
They,
yeah.
They got to the final and they didn't really...
Oh, Martinez will have to stay now, won't he? He'll have to stay another year.
But it's that kind of thing that... okay, maybe Newcastle's different. If they do go down, it could be bad for them. But you look at Tottenham and Chelsea and you go... Because they're not prioritised Champions League football over the Europa League. And say that if neither of these two teams are in there, they could be well secure top four or even be chance for the title.
Mm. I don't think you can dismiss the competition like that, though. I mean, we gave out about the likes of Ferguson a couple of years ago with the FA Cup when they were winning everything and he was just like, I don't want the FA Cup. We don't want to be entered into this tournament anymore. It's like, you can't do that.
But the teams kind of, you know, if you're battling to stay up in the league, the teams aren't bothered with the FA Cup. Like you said, Wigan might wind up not being too bothered by the FA Cup finals in a way because they might really need to win two games in between.
Yeah, but I think any chance of silverware for a player, I mean, you want to add to it no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the drive, you know, for being a player there. Any player that's playing for Wigan right now is obviously going to want to stay in the Premier League, but we'll look at that and go, oh, there's a chance we can get a medal out of this.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's probably the biggest occasion of their career.
Exactly.
Like,
so all of them said are playing
like
for
quite a few of them, quite a few of their careers, but probably the club.
Mm.
So, like...
I think in a different, under different circumstances, though, I think... Boas really likes the Europa League and he thinks it would be a great stepping stone. Be a great stepping stone for Tottenham if they were to win it. But if it's taking them away from the Champions League spots and they do finish in the Europa League, if they finish fifth, they're in the exact same position they were last season again.
I don't know if they necessarily. Yeah, but that's not always terrible. I mean,
but they might. Well, it could be because they might lose a player like Bale.
Mm, true.
I mean, they did lose Modric last summer. Okay, he's not. He hasn't been missed at all. You could say.
Yeah.
But they could wind up losing Bale if they don't get Champions League football.
I still, they're still challenging, so I still think that, you know,
they're definitely still like they're still well within like finish there. I mean, chances are they probably will finish in the top four, but it could well be that that scuppers it. You know, it's Tottenham. You know, come on, if any team are going to mess it up at this stage, it's Tottenham. They just seem to do it consistently.
Yeah.
Well, they do. They're incredible. I mean, well, in
fairness, game against Man City this weekend as well.
Last season they finished fourth, so you know, if they did drop down to fifth, it would be a step backwards. Yeah, got a huge game coming up as well. So, you know, wonder if they'll be bounced back by then. You know, refreshed, looking up for. I think again, is that if it was different at Chelsea as well, if it wasn't Benitez there, I think the other manager wouldn't care as much. If it was somebody who knew they're there long term, or Benitez, who certainly said he was there long term, but he knows he's leaving in 5 weeks time, so he just wants to get as much silver as possible. You know, he doesn't care about the league really. I don't know, he wants to finish fourth, but he'd rather take the Europa League
probably
over that.
Yeah.
But if that was Mourinho a couple of years ago, or even Di Matteo, or somebody who had a secure future at the club, they would have said, I'd rather just get the
top four. I don't think there's any secure future at Chelsea.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, Mourinho was. He always knew that he was going to be there for a while, but then he left eventually. Moving on to Champions League anyway, which we've kind of touched on already, but the draws we made, Real Madrid, Dortmund, Bayern, Barca. We'll talk about more next week when the first set's been played, but what do you make of that?
I picked the final already. I put up on Twitter, I said I fancied a Real Madrid and Bayern Munich final.
Yeah, I actually would probably say that's what I'd go for as well.
Dortmund Barca for me. Interesting. Do you think Barca can overcome, or Bayern can overcome Barca?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what, like, I don't know what it is that makes me feel that right now. Like, as soon as I saw the draw, I had a look at it and I was like, oh, quite fancy Bayern Munich for this.
I think the it's a bit away now. It's next week and the following week until we find out who's there. But I think in my opinion, the Barca attack is too mobile. I think the Barca defense, or the Bayern defense, is too static. I think if they're gonna be caught out, it's against Barca. I mean, you could argue that the Bayern defense was caught out against Arsenal when players like Walcott and Chamberlain, Podolski, even
point,
defense, were moving around and buzzing about and moving a lot quicker. I think Messi, you know, Pedro, Villa, Teo might even play there, and then you got Xavi and Iniesta, Sanchez running at them as well. I think a lot of movement might just tear them apart. But look,
there's
a lot more to the
game
than just
that. There is that flip side where Barca will probably be playing, I don't know, Xavi in defence at this stage, and like Pinto will show up in defence because they have no one. They'll only be
poke someone in the eye 2 minutes in and get sent off.
They'll have two defenders and they'll be up against Mandzukic, is having a great season.
Yeah.
Thomas Muller, you know, Ribery, Robben, all these players moving.
Yeah, but
as well.
The argument is that Barcelona are going to have the ball more.
Well, that's true, yeah.
You're almost guaranteed that Barcelona are going to have the ball more.
I'm happy enough with how the draw is, though.
Yeah,
because people suggested that they wanted an El Clasico and, you know, a
German game.
I'm actually happier to see it this way because we could possibly get an El Clasico final. But I wanted to see Bayern Munich, Barcelona at some stage, and I wasn't sure that would happen.
So you're saying Bayern Real final?
Yeah. Because
they played each other in the semi-final last year in Bayern. But I mean, that'd be a great... I think there's something better when the English teams aren't there because there's not as much hype about it.
Yeah.
And it's great to see two actual heavyweights of Europe possibly playing each other, but four of them there. And anyway, I mean, you can hark back to Dortmund in 97 when they won it, and it was a great team, and you're thinking, oh, I remember that Dortmund team. And then you know the other three teams are huge. Like, they're arguably the three biggest teams in Europe outside of the English teams, you know. Not that they are. Not that I'm saying United are. United are up there, though.
What do you think yourself, then? Are you going for an El Clasico final?
Yeah, I do think it would be Madrid, Barca. I think it's just sometimes it's hard to look beyond that. I think Madrid are going to beat Dortmund regardless. I know that's flippant because Dortmund, they beat them in the group stages earlier and were quite good against
them. But there's something about, like,
the machine that is Madrid.
But there's such a difference between
poetry.
The semi-finals of the Champions League versus
the group stage
of the Champions League. Whereas there wasn't that much pressure on Dortmund to win.
I just think
in those games, and then it was suddenly like, oh, well done, like you won.
Yeah.
But now it's like,
well, we have to
win this massive game against them. I don't know how. There's so many good players, but so young and so inexperienced in terms of European football.
Yeah, Madrid just under Mourinho, they're not going. You just can't see them losing that kind of game. You think it's just they're gonna go out there and they're gonna do a job.
I'd like to hear what Karlsheinz Riedel has to say on this. To be honest, and I hope Sky Sports get him back.
Interesting. Moving on, just before we finish up, Championship briefly, Cardiff being promoted to the Premiership tonight.
Yay.
That's been confirmed. It was a very underwhelming because
yeah,
we were only discussing this. They drew their game and
nil all with Charlton.
They only got promoted because Hull lost to Wolves.
Wolves,
a great win for Wolves. Who were...
So it was one of those Football Manager things that comes up in the update in your news. You've won the league. You're like,
without playing.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Very underwhelming all in all, though. Yeah. And a bit disappointing then. But I mean, they don't care, Cardiff, do they?
Not
take whatever the feck way they can get up after the amount of heartbreak they've had over the years.
What,
you know,
four seasons in a row that they've been near the top and fallen to the playoffs.
I'm happy they'll actually be up next year. It'll be very interesting.
They like
a header. That's what they like. they have a decent system. Malky McCoy has been playing. They've got, like, you know, a couple of players that can actually cross the ball, and then they've got Harder Helgeson and
the man up front.
Yeah,
strong lad up front. Get him in there. Get it in the mix.
Craig Bellamy still coming back. Premier League.
And you know, Premiership teams don't like it up and at them. You know?
Yeah.
So that's when they get the
ball. Well, that's the thing. Gested is another. He scored two headers. Not this week, obviously, but when they beat Nottingham Forest. Billy Davis is Nottingham Forest. I was talking to Sock beforehand, saying on the Football League show last week, they cut from Malky McCoy, who's this, you know, pretty tall, businessman looking, sort of, he even his skin is nice skin and clear. And they cut from that to, like, Billy Davis, he just looks like he's come in from a storm, and he looks like he's been in the wind for days, and he's just, his hair is unkempt, and he looks like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. You know, there's a few things there.
Battle weary.
Yes.
Billy, how was the game? Oh, it was terrible. Oh, Billy. Billy, you're the rest of
Don't get me started on the game.
Battle weary, Billy.
Oh, he also said, as soon as you raise your hands, you're going to get sent off, which I hate to hear.
Because it's not true.
There was
you have to raise them.
Darius Henderson was sent off for Nottingham Forest in that game, and he did that stupid bloody, you know, it was a bit of an elbow, a bit harsh, but as soon
you
as you
say Darius
hands,
Henderson got sent off, I say, is Darius Vassell still out in Turkey?
I say I don't know. I say I will look it up for you next week.
I say you meant to say Jordan Henderson.
Hull lost, which is...
Yeah, Hull lost to Wolves, and Wolves won, and that's great for Wolves, because I'm going to say Wolves a lot. Wolves are down but Bristol City have been relegated.
Yeah.
As well, from the Championship. And in League One, Portsmouth have been relegated. I know it was coming and it was always going to happen, but it's finally happened. They have been relegated. Yeah. And it's just, the important thing is for them that they survive as a club.
Yeah,
they don't
care
about playing League One football. They don't care about 10 point deduction next season.
Mm.
As long as they stay in business. And we said last week it looks like they will be. They've secured a deal to buy Fratton Park.
Yeah, the fans trust. That's great to see. It's you know,
it's great to see them relegated.
No, we're all very happy to see them. I don't think that's a huge thing to any of us at this stage, considering what has been threatened. Getting relegated is, like, you'll take it with a pinch of salt maybe, but not devastatingly. It's not like you drank a whole bowl of salt. You'll just have to have a pinch of it.
Just salt in the bowl.
Where he goes. Portsmouth fans. Also worth mentioning, just while we're on the lower league and Championship, Brian McDermott has won his two games in a row, so that's great. Great to see him up there.
And he also uniquely shares the same name with the Leeds Rhinos coach.
Yeah, the rugby coach. So both Brian McDermott's playing.
Do you think they could do like a sister swap over at some point?
I think it's too obvious I said that about Raphael and Fabio, that they should do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's much easier. I think it'd be more of a Sky One big raw manager style thing, you know. Next on Sky One, Leeds Rhino swap managers with Leeds United.
And also, Mick McCarthy said that if he keeps Ipswich up, it'll be the greatest achievement of his career.
Yeah, which
that hurts a little, didn't it?
World Cup.
A bit of a sting. Yeah, that was your greatest achievement.
Beating Holland.
Qualifying for that and then getting beyond the group stages and only narrowly, you know, with the worst luck of the world, that in no way we deserve to go out to Spain.
That
you
horrible playoff against Iran, was it?
Yeah, it was against Iran, yeah.
Not having Roy Keane in the second leg, kind of needed him.
Losing 1-0 with about 10 million Iranians in that.
Roy Keane,
the stadium is massive. They, it's like 120,000.
Roy Keane, the kind of man that would understand Iran pretty well as well, I'd say.
With his beard?
Yeah.
He looks like he should be in Argo.
Looks like he is going to keep them up though anyway, Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, which is good because they scored three tonight.
Three tonight after
they scored 7 and 8.
Yeah, 7 and 10.
That's a 10.
Which is a, you know, relatively poor. Their defence is good, but good luck, Mick, but I'm not happy with that comment, you know? Maybe it's just, maybe it's more of a jib at the Wolves fans.
I think,
maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing actually when we played at Rand that the players literally went straight from the stadium to the airport and the bus was attacked on the way. And they went straight, there was no stay, they just stay overnight, they went straight back anyway.
That wouldn't happen with Roy Keane, you wouldn't dare attack a bus with Roy Keane on it.
No, stop the bus, man.
What are you doing to my bus?
No, stop attacking my
Go
bus.
Go away.
No. Roy Keane seemed awfully sedated on ITV this season.
He probably was sedated. He probably was.
Gareth Southgate made him laugh, basically. I think he was more placid because they brought up a time where he hacked Gareth Southgate. And it was like, oh yeah, I don't remember that, Jeff. And I was like,
actually, yeah, that's probably... It's like an endorphin rush that he gets in his head. He gets almost like he's high when
Roy, you're kicking me under the table.
Was drooling an awful lot as well. So, like, it may have been...
I think we've gone a bit off topic, lads, and that's because we've run out of things to talk about. Mm. Oh, the world of football's so small that we...
Saliva coming out of Roy Keane's mouth. That's when you know you've hit the end.
Yeah, usually I tend to stop chatting up girls when I realise that that's what I'm talking about. Then I run away.
Okay, if you want to get in touch, the 12th Man Podcast at hotmail.com. At 12th Man Podcast. Numerical 12, 12th, 12th Man Podcast on the Twitter. And if you want to get on the Facebook page, just Google the 12 Man Podcast. You'll find the Facebook page. Get on there and like it. Follow us on iTunes as well. So you just subscribe to it and you get the updates and such things. We'll download straight. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Declan Marks. It's been wonderful. And thank you for your time. It's also been wonderful. We'll speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Hopefully she listens to this. It's nice for someone else's family on her mind podcast on this.
How's your dad?
Without any response. Except for his grand. He's really well, actually. He's asking for the two of you.
Asking for us. You're talking about that. You're talking numbers and you're talking facts.
Gotta say, Frank, you can't scrap boards. Gotta be safe.
That's negativity.
Talk about Dwight York and Andy Cole in Europe. You hear that, like, oh, you have to see that movie, A Bloke Has Sex with a Pie. Well, I'm probably not going to watch
that movie. I hate those movies. They're terrible.
I saw the...
Even the sixth one?
The sixth one was the best.
There's one that was only featuring Eugene Levy for a while. Remember that? And it was like...
It was just him. It was. There were no other characters.
Just
him.
No, but it was. It was like none of the original
characters. We're not going to go hang around these kids now.
Why is his dad in it? Like,
why is his dad hanging around all these 16-year-old kids?
It was a college version.
Trying to lose his virginity.
It was a college version. It was like...
Well, I got to cheat and my wife forget.
It was a college version. It was like, you're Stifler's brother? No way. Show us, have sex with this pie or whatever.
I don't know.
And then Eugene Levy would be like, don't have sex with my pie.
Your man was playing Stifler's brother was Tucker.
Was he?
Yeah.
I love that show, Tucker. That was a great show.
Yeah.
Should we cover a little bit more to his hair ratio as to what makes him
less
not a woman because there's hair?
Do you want to reconsider that sentence?
No, I'm gonna try and drag it out longer and longer so that we haven't started yet.
Do you want to reconsider?
Very uncompromising out there. Mm. Or compromising. Because you know, like a good compromising. I don't know.
Because your back hairy.
Yeah.